Good and Chodesh. This week's parsha is Parsha's Truma, and there's a very important yesod as we're entering this parsha. It's the yesod of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the Talmud Muvak of the Vilna Gaon, would say that the main point of the Mishkan, the construction of the Mishkan, was not in order to have a building, to have an edifice in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashra Hishchina. That's the simple understanding. But Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, no, the real reason for HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanding us to build a Mishkan is so that when a Jew goes to the Mishkan and he sees that there is a structure in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashra Hishchina, they would walk away with the inspiration, with the message that just like the Mishkan is a place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is comfortable residing in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants to reside in my Mishkan, my personal tabernacle, my personal body, my personal world. And in fact, he says, the Mishkan, in the way it was constructed, very much parallels a human body. And the point was that we should be able to actually find a mother, l'shchina, in ourselves. The pasuk says, v'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'saycham. I want you to build me a mikdash or a mishkan, and I will dwell in them. What does it mean in them? It should have said in it. B'seich kol echad ve'echad. Chazal, it's one of those chazal, and by the way, that it's not clear where it comes from. Everybody quotes it. The Shlach Kaddish, I think, is the earliest source for it, but it's not, I don't think you find it in a Medrash Rabbah, in a Gemara. It's one of those chazalim that are sort of, its source is shrouded in mystery, but b'seichai lai nemar ela b'seicham, b'seich kol echad ve'echad. Kaddish Baruch Hu really wants to be inside of us. He wants us to invite him into our being, into our lives, into our world. And so when we study the Mishkan, we're really supposed to take lessons and apply them to ourselves, and there's a million lessons to be learned from the Mishkan. Today I want to learn one important lesson, and I think it's going to be a very, very impactful one that if we listen well, it really will change the way we look at the world and perhaps make major decisions and minor ones in our life. The Mishkan itself was a beautiful, beautiful structure. It was made of gold, it was made of silver, it was made of copper, it was made of the most finest of tapestries. If you were to see the Mishkan, you would be amazed by the beauty, the sheer majesty of the Mishkan. It's in fact very strange. Another mystery is, how did they know how to build this Mishkan? The Ramban asks this question. Who in the world of Klal Yisrael, who just came out of hundreds of years of servitude, making bricks and mortars, who is qualified, who is capable, who is taught and trained in the art of fine gold making, fine silver making? This wasn't a grubba job that, like, you know, just take gold and like stick it somewhere. Every single vessel, every one of the kruvim, the menorah, the kaftirim, the prachim, all of the zer, zav, around all these, they were fine filigree work. These were the most delicate of silversmiths, of coppersmiths, of goldsmiths that were required. And where did they get the training? Did they go to some fancy university or trade school in Europe? Where did they get this skill from? The Ramban asks, and the Ramban says that these were people, asher nisa'ai libam, their hearts uplifted them. They volunteered without knowing exactly how to do it, but they said, I feel I could do it. I want to do this for the Rabbeinu Shlom. And indeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted them the skill set that was necessary to make this. And that's a very important lesson in our own life, that many times we are going to be faced with challenges and we're not going to think that we're up to the challenge. I don't know, you know, I want to get this job, but I don't think I could do the job. I don't know, I don't have the skills to do the job. Don't worry about it. If you want to do the job, just take the job, and Amirtz Hashem, you'll get the Siyat Dishmaya to be able to actually learn what you need to learn and to do the job and to do it very well. The irony of this beautiful Mishkan was that it was covered over. It had actually two or three covers on top, but the first of covers was what's called Urias Izim. Urias Izim is goat hair. Goat hair is like a very not beautiful substance. It's the goat. It's the hair of goats. It's not exactly a fur, beautiful type of, you know, of material as you would envision the Mishkan's first covering to be. The Mishkan was so beautiful inside, underneath this covering, but upon the Mishkan, Hashem commands to put Urias Izim, a very basic, a very, you know, I don't want to use the word ugly, but a very not aesthetic looking cover to cover up the most beautiful structure perhaps ever built in human history. And what lesson can we learn from that? And I believe that the lesson is that the main beauty in life is internal beauty. It's the beauty that resides within. The external beauty that we look at and we're attracted to, and it's very appealing, is very often nothing but it's a fake. It's not something that is real. The real beauty inside of a person, inside of a yid, is really the internal part of him or her. What makes them tick, their midas, their chesed, their bikush, their love, their passion. That's what's the main beauty inside of a person. There's an external part, but a yid doesn't always need to look at the external to judge what the person, what the being that we're talking about is all about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have made the most beautiful ornament to cover the Mishkan in the first covering. The other one, by the way, were quite beautiful. There's tachash and beautiful types of materials on top. But the very first material used to cover was the Urias Izim, as if to say, Al tistakel bekankan el b'mashiyesh bo. Don't look at the externals. Don't look at the top part of it. Try to peek underneath the Urias Izim, and there you will be able to see the true beauty inside. You know, we learn a lot from language. Language is very, very insightful in being able to make a person understand what something really is, especially Lashon HaKodesh. But sometimes the English language is also very interesting to explore because you get the Gayesha Hashkafa of what something is. So a very interesting contrast that I heard once is that the word for face in English, what does that mean, face? Face comes from the word facade. I'm not sure if facade, it sounds French, maybe it's French, maybe it's Latin, maybe it's both, I don't know. But facade means a fake. Fake also has that same word as facade, right? A facade is basically, let's say I have an old house, a brick old, one of these houses from 100 years ago. I want to make it look modern. I want to look for people to think that it's a new house. So what do? I take some stucco and I put it over the house, and now it looks like a brand new, it's not a brand new house. It's a very old house, but I put a facade over it so people think that it's new, but it's not new, it's really old. In other words, a gayisha hashkafa for what a face is, it's a way to fake people out. I might hate your guts, but if when I see you, I put on a really nice smile and I you know, I say something nice to you and I butter you up, then I could fool you, I could fake you through my face into really believing that I'm a nice guy and that I like you and that we're friends, but it's not true. It's just a fake out. It's just a face. It's a facade. Contrast that with Lashon HaKodesh. What's the word for face in Hebrew in Lashon HaKodesh? Panim. Panim. What is another word that sounds very similar to panim? Pnim. Pnimius. Pnim is the inside. In other words, a guy looks at a face as a way to fake people out. It's an instrument that I have that I could look sad when I'm happy, I could look happy when I'm sad. I could basically play with other people because I have the ability through my face to fool you. A yid says, no, a face is not that. A face is a mirror for the pnimius. It's not a way to fool you, but sometimes when you look at somebody, when you look at their eyes, you look at their at the way that they're acting, at the way that they're looking at somebody else, you're able to get a glimpse internally, because the main thing is not the external, it's the inside. Sometimes it's true, we could use our face and use it to fool people, but a face is nothing more than a glimpse inside of a person, because a yid doesn't look at the outside as much as they're supposed to focus on the internal. We find in a few places in Tanakh this important yisaid about how a person is supposed to look at other people, not externally, but internally. There's a beautiful parsha, I always love this parsha, by Shmuel. Shmuel HaNavi was sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to anoint one of the sons of Yishai. Yishai had 8 sons. Now, many of them were tall, handsome, very, you know, athletic, and very successful, very striking men. And so when Yishai was approached by Shmuel and says, I want to be Moshech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me on a divine mission to anoint one of your sons, he invited 7 of his sons to go for this lineup for Shmuel to choose. But David HaMelech, who was the youngest of the 8 sons, he wasn't even invited. He was like out in the fields doing his work. And Yishai didn't even think it was a Havamina that he would want to be, because David HaMelech was Admini, he was red, he was ruddy-cheeked, he had Yifei Einayim, the puzzle, he had beautiful eyes, but he wasn't as athletic, he wasn't as handsome as his older brothers, he wasn't voted most likely to succeed. He was David HaMelech. And the first of the sons of Yishai, his name was Eliav. Eliav was really handsome and good-looking and presentable, and Yishai, Shmuel automatically, okay, this is the guy. He's the man for the job. He is the Mashiach, Mashiach Hashem. This must be the anointed one of Klal Yisrael. Look at him. He's beautiful. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a pasuk for the ages. Vayomer Hashem al Shmuel, don't pay attention to the beauty of his appearance and to his tall stature. He was a giant, Eliav. Don't look at that. Why? Because he has made me disgusted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't a fan of Eliav. It's not like man sees things. Ki Adam Yirele Nayim. Man only sees with his eyes. Man sees in whatever is in front of him, and he sizes up somebody right away based on appearance. You could see somebody, I like this guy. He dresses really fancy. He must be very successful. He's athletic, and he's handsome, and he looks geschmack. I want to be friends with him. That's how man looks at things. Ki Adam Yirele Nayim, Hashem Yira Lelevav. But Hashem is different. Hashem doesn't look at the externals, at the superficials. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the heart of a man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to see right through us and see our heart. What is our heart doing? Is our heart gold? Is our heart handsome? Is our heart beautiful? Is our heart passionate? The fact that I externally look a certain way, it's a gift, but it doesn't mean anything. It means a lot to men. People are very impressed with beauty, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care much for that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about the pnimius. And this is something that Shmuel was taught. Not that, of course, Shmuel HaNavi was on our level of being superficial. Shmuel HaNavi also, understood this shmuz, but Shmuel HaNavi, I guess, he saw a certain genune malchus. He saw a certain regalness and royalty to Eliyav, and he thought that that would maybe be a feature that would be helpful in being a king of Klal Yisrael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, let's go after David. David was the sweet, Ne'im Zmiris Yisrael. He might not have been as handsome as his brothers, but David HaMelech was was the Libay Levav Kol Yisrael, his heart was one of that encompassed within the entire Klal Yisrael. So that was the man for the job. He was the one that was ultimately anointed as Melech of Klal Yisrael. David HaMelech, the youngest of Beis Yishai, he was the number 8. Nobody thought that he was Roy Lamalchus. He was a shepherd. He wasn't even invited. But yet, after everyone else was eliminated from the candidacy, they called him out from the sheep, and he was Admaini with Yifei Enayim. The Chitzainius were not important. The Pnimius was. We find this also, of course, by Esther. We're about to approach Purim. Purim is coming up pretty fast, and Rosh Chodesh Adar is today, so it's time already to speak about Purim. Esther. Esther, Chazal, according to one opinion, Chazal, the Gemara says that Esther was Yirak Roikas Haisa. Her name was not only Esther, it was Hadassah. Why was it Hadassah? Hadassah is a green leaf. Why is it? Why was she called that? Because she was green. According to one sheet in the Gemara, she looked green. Now, green is not a color that is the most attractive of colors. Green means that a person maybe is nauseous, isn't feeling so good, is under the weather. But yet, Esther was green. And somehow, some way, Ahasuerus took to her. Ahasuerus, of all of the thousands of women that were invited to his beauty contest to be able to, you know, try to be the queen of Kuf Chav Zayin Medina, Esther was not going to make it. Esther was clearly not the one that was going to beat out all of the other beautiful women around the Medinas. But yet there was something called a Chut Shel Chesed that was Mashrach Aleha. She had about her a Chut Shel Chesed, a string, a thread of Chesed about her that made her irresistibly attractive to not just Ahasuerus, but to everybody that saw her. Vati Esther Noises Chain Be'eni Kol Re'eha. Anyone that saw her immediately found Chain in her. The Gemara says that Kol Echad Ve'echad Nidma Laikum Masai. All of the governors, all of the ambassadors from all of the 127 nations, they didn't know who Esther was. She didn't tell anyone her background. They didn't know what country she was from. They all said, she must be Indian, she must be Egyptian, she must be Akasti, she must be a Persian, she must be a Madai. They all, because she had a chain to her. When you have a chain, even if the superficial face is not always, you know, so perfect, but inside of a person is the most important thing. And with Esther, her inner beauty like oozed out. And it made her so attractive because of that chain, because of that chesed. The pasuk says, "Bayayim hashvi ketayv le hamelch bayayin." On the seventh day, when the king's heart was good with wine, and we know a rule that whenever it says hamelch in the Megillah stam, it's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says in Megillah, "Bayayim Hashvi Ketayv Lev HaMelech Bayayin." It was Shabbos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's heart was good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was keeping Shabbos, and this is a time that we have another contrast between Yidden and Goyim. On Friday nights, what does a Goy do every Friday night? They go to the bar, they drink, and they discuss vulgar things. What does a Yid do? A Yid goes home. He makes Kiddush, also on wine, and he discusses Torah. He prays HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayechul HaShemayim Ha'aretz V'chol Tzavakam. That's what happened that Friday night at the party. Ahasuerus and all of his chevra, they started drinking, and they started discussing who the most beautiful girl in the Malchus was. One said they were Persians are prettier, and one said that the Madais were prettier, etc. That's what they were talking about when they drank. What did the Yidden? The Yidden also gathered on that Shabbos. They broke away from the party and they made their own Suda Shabbos. And what do they do? Maschilim b'divrei Torah b'divrei Sishpachas. They started singing Zmiras. They started saying Kiddush. They started saying Divrei Torah. And I think that that's why on the Minig developed perhaps that on Lel Shabbos we sing Eish Eschayil to contrast with Goyim. Goyim sing Eish Eschayil in their own way. Who is the most amazing girl? Who is the what does a Yid sing? Eish Eschayil miyimtza, Sheker Hachein, Vehevel HaYefi. All this talk about that the Goyim are having about what's Chein, what's Yefi, Sheker, Hevel, Isha, Yiras Hashem, Hitishal. If a woman has Yerushamayim, that's the most important thing. That's what we declare emphatically on Friday night because it's a time, it's part of the Shevach of being a Yid, is to get this appreciation that the main thing is not the external beauty. Al tistakel bakankan el mashesh. Don't look at the Urias Izim over the beautiful Mishkan. Look under the Urias Izim. Look inside of what's really going on internally. And that is the most beautiful thing in the world. There's a story with Reb Chaim of Sanz. Reb Chaim of Sanz was Reb Shidduch, the great Divrei Chaim. And a girl, you know, who he was read to, comes to meet him. And she had a terrible hunchback. Her back was completely like, you know, like an arch. And very chash of a girl, but, you know, the Divrei Chaim said, I can't marry a hunchback. It's, you know, I'm not attracted. It's v'chulei. And very understandable. But, so he said to the Shadchan, you know, it's not for me. So the girl was told that it's not for him. And she says, fine, but I just want to spend 1 minute with the Divrei Chaim when he has a chance. It's a little unusual, unorthodox, you know, after the Shidduch was no longer going to happen, why you want to spend another more time with the Chaim of Sanz? So anyway, fine. So he comes to her, and she says, there's a mirror in the hall, and I want to look at us together in the mirror. Okay, unusual. They went to the mirror, and they look in the mirror, and Reb Chaim sees something strange. He sees that the girl is really tall and straight and beautiful, and he has the hunchback. He's the one with the hunchback. So he says, what's going on over here? So she explained to him that really in Shamayim, Reb Chaim was supposed to have the hunchback. But she, at an early age, realizing that Reb Chaim had to be, you know, Melech in Klal Yisrael, Divrei Chaim was the Gadol Adar, he was the Gadol Batira, he wasn't just, you know, a Rebbe that just, you know, was Rebbe by virtue of the fact that he was, he had good Yichas. Reb Chaim of Sanz was actually the Gadol Hadar, he was the Paisik Hadar, the Divrei Chaim, the Tshuvas of the Divrei Chaim are today still classics. And he said, because he was supposed to be the Melech, I davened and I davened and I davened that the hunchback that he's supposed to develop, I want. I want, I'm, as his wife, as his potential wife, I'm going to take the hunchback on me, and I want him to be straight. I want him to be erect and handsome. And Reb Chaim understood this. He married this girl. This is a very important lesson that it's important to learn at an early stage in life, or maybe at your stage in life, is perhaps the best time to learn about it. Because what happens in life is that, especially when it comes to Shidduchim, is that we get very, very taken by beauty. And beauty, by the way, is something that has a place. Beauty is not something to just, you know, wave away. In fact, there's a Vilna Gaon that asks on that pasuk in Mishle, what does it mean, Sheker Hachein Vevel HaYefid? Weren't the mice all praised for being beautiful? The Gemara says that Sarah was, you know, one of the seven beautiful women in the world. And, you know, the Gemara says that Chava was the most beautiful. The Gemara says, Sarah Bifnei Chava, Kekaif Bifnei Adam. And Taisus says that it means that, you know, biologically generated women, Sarah was the most beautiful. But Chava was the most beautiful because she was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself fashioned Chava. But we see that Psukim tell us that, you know, how beautiful certain of the women in history were. Yosef was Yifei Tayer v'Yifei Mara. Yosef was handsome. What do you mean that there's no place for Shaul? It says how handsome he was. He was Mishichma Lamaila. He was tall. He was a very attractive man. What do you mean that Sheker Achim Evla Yefi? You're going against Psukim and Chumash? So the Vilna Gaon says that, of course, there's a Maila to Yefi. It's a beautiful thing to be. But Sheker Achim Evla, you know when it's Sheker and when it's Hevel? When there's no Yerushalayim. Isha Yiras Hashem Hitishalal. If it's just a beautiful person, but there's no Yerushalayim, that's nothing. That's disgusting. Where a person has Yerushalayim, where a person has Chayin and Chesed, the real type, from and Edol and fine and Midas, and they happen to be pretty good, because that's a Shevach. It's a Maila, but it's only a Maila if there's Yerushalayim inside. If there's nothing inside, it's a beautiful palace, but nobody's home. What does it do for you? There's nothing inside. And we live in a day and age. I remember, I'm not saying that I'm the world's biggest tzaddik. I'm mamish not. But when I was dating, and whenever anyone my age and older, and probably a little younger, were dating, there was no such thing as pictures. You didn't see a picture of a girl. Maybe if you were really good, you'd found a yearbook from high school and you found, but there was no pictures. It was just like somebody, a shatran called you. There's a girl, you know, who, you know, would you like to go out with her? They would tell you a little bit about it. You didn't even do any research. You just basically, you know, if it sounded good and, you know, and the shatran recommends and those, okay, fine, we'll try it. Today, everything there's pictures, and there's a big movement afoot to nix the pics and not have pictures. Yeah, pictures. But the problem with pictures, and I get the reason why people want to see pictures, because, you know, it saves a lot of time sometimes, but the maila of pictures is that, you know, that you see what they look like. The chisaron is that you don't really see anything in a picture. A picture is just a facade of somebody. It's just a two-dimensional image that has no depth. There's no chayin, there's no chesed, there's no midas in a picture. So very often the problem with pictures is that you're going to look at a picture and you're going to say, no, not for me. And because you said not for me, you missed out on the opportunity of maybe getting a great girl who has amazing midah. She's going to make a great wife and a great mother, and she's going to daven every day. She's going to support you in your learning and your avodas Hashem. But you were so quick to judge, and you were looking at the Urias Izim, but you failed to look beneath the Urias Izim at the Zav, at the Kesed, the Nechayshes, the Urias. So much going on inside, so much beauty that's taking place internally, that you missed it because you were so obsessed with the chitzanius. This is true, by the way, even after a person goes out on a date. And sometimes you go out on a date and, you know, the first date you did not find her attractive, or maybe she didn't find the guy attractive, and so they say right away, no. Now, sometimes if it's mamish not shayach, okay, that's understandable. But let's say it's borderline. You know, the looks are okay, but, you know, but not well enough for me to think I'm going to go out again. A lot of times, you need to go out a second time, maybe a third time, because you can't really judge the person, and you can't really know the person and what's going on unless you give it a chance. And sometimes what you thought you understood in terms of the appearance gets much better as you go along, because now, like Esther, you know, there was a chayin that's coming out, and you see like a beauty in them that you may have missed the first time. Ki Adam Yarei Le'inayim, man just looks at the at what he sees, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the heart. And the lesson of the Mishkan is that don't always judge people right away superficially. And we do this all the time, not just in dating, but with everything. In terms of friends, we see a guy, you know, let's say a new guy in yeshiva, and we right away size them up and he's not exactly, he doesn't look like the type of guy that I would hang out with. He doesn't look, he's not cool enough, he's not this enough, he's not that enough. And if you give it a chance, sometimes you see, you know, this is an amazing person. You just size them up right away and you paskin that they were not right for you. But the more opportunity that you give people, the more you spend time with them, the more that you get a chance to see their midas and their bikush and their she'ifas in life, the more you have the ability to really see the zav, the goal that's inside of their hearts. And that's what life is all about. Life is, if we want to live a gayisha life, we'll be completely go through our whole life and just be enamored by everything superficial. And we'll look at celebrities, and we'll look at rock stars, and we'll look at houses and cars and yachts, and everything is, wow, it's unbelievable. That's what I want. I want that. But underneath the surface, there's a lot of bad stuff going on. You know, if you follow the trajectory of a lot of these people's lives, I'd say maybe 99% of people that we look at is like, wow, he's living the dream, she's living the dream. Very often their lives end tragically in one form or another, you know, drugs and suicide and divorce and all types of terrible midas rois, superficially beautiful, but like inside, it's all sheker and it's all hevel. And in life, we have to try to train ourselves to have like x-ray vision, to not put so much stock into what we see visibly in front of us, but rather to look deeper and to develop a new set of eyes that are able to perceive something that's, that's much more precious, that's much more valuable. And that, sometimes it belies what you see. Sometimes the eyes look at something and it doesn't seem like it's attractive. But if you understand that that's not the main thing, the main thing is what's internal, then you'll be blessed. And the people that you'll associate with are not people that are the coolest necessarily, the best dressed, the fanciest, the richest, it's the people that are the finest. And you'll live a life with a chevra of people that are really good and solid and people that you'll be proud of associating with. And the girl that you'll marry might not be the most beautiful girl in the world, but that's good because that's just superficial anyway. That doesn't last. Those are things that after a few years, everybody starts aging and nobody looks that good anyway after a certain amount of time. But what still will remain is the internal. Sometimes, you see, couples, and sometimes it's obvious what they saw in each other. You know, they're both, similar looking, let's say on the same level of attractiveness. So you get it, okay. Sometimes you see like a guy and a girl, they seem like so mismatched, and you wonder like, what did he see in her? Or what did she see in him? Like, it doesn't seem to shtim, like, because we're used to like a Hollywood, perspective on couples, on romance. So we want the couples to like be in the same shlav. And the people that you see like that, it's not such a kasha because they saw deeper. They didn't look at the superficial. They understood the superficial is just nothing but like a coat that you wear, but it comes off, it goes on. It's not the person itself. The main part of a person is the internal. The girl is a great girl. She's an amazing girl. She's fine. She's nice. So he saw beyond the superficial. He looked into the pnimius instead of just the pnim. Instead of just the panim, he looked deeper and he was able to see the pnimius. And that's, a very, very good and important lesson of this parsha, of the beauty of the Mishkan with the contrast of the Urias Izim, this like very regular pedestrian type of covering that doesn't seem to be matim with the beauty underneath, but that's the point. The point is that don't look at the covering. You can't judge a book by its cover. You can't say, okay, I know the person because I see the way they look. No. The Urias Izim, if you would look at it, would look like a bland, ugly, boring building. That's what it would look like. And then you'd go inside and say, wow, this place is unbelievable. Look at what's going on inside. And we have to look at the Mishkan and project the Mishkan onto our own lives and understand that when we're looking at something, try to look beneath the surface. Stop judging people right away based on what they appear to look like, but look deeper and try to get to know them in a deeper way, in a more beautiful way, and then you will see their true essence and you won't be blinded by the facade that is the exterior. Everybody have a good Shabbos, a good Chodesh, a Mitzvah Hashem. We should have a wonderful Chodesh Adar together in Yeshiva.